think that a more important thing right now is talking about a real vision for praying and a real vision for knowing Christ and having a heart that's just really sold out to God so that you want to pray. Because you could skip this workshop and take a nice walk in the mountains and spend $4.99 on a book on prayer and get a lot of good how-to things on prayer. So instead, I think what I want to do is I want to walk through a little bit of what my prayer life looks like and just a list of exciting things about prayer, just to kind of cast out a vision for really knowing God and praying. That's the plan. Let me say a quick prayer, and then we'll jump into it. Let's pray. Dear Lord God, you love us, and it is absolutely in your will, Lord, that we pray to you and that we talk to you and that we have a relationship with you. So I pray that you bless us all here, God, me included, that we would develop lives of consistent talking in a relationship with you, Lord, like a man talks to his friend, that we'd know you and love you and that we'd know your will. I just pray that you'd open our hearts, God, to really have that an excitement to be loved by you and to be sons and daughters of you, Lord. I pray that you'd build us up in that so that it would be a joy to have a relationship with you, God. Amen. You ever know somebody a little bit and get to be better friends and better friends with them, but there are just some things in your life you'd really rather them not see, you know? And you think, you know, if this person knows me really, really well, there's some awkward stuff there, and so I'm going to hold back a little bit. The thing with God is, he absolutely loves every one of us more than we can possibly imagine. And he knows us. That's the first thing I'm going to talk about, is that God knows us. You can be comfortable praying to the living God who loves you because he knows you. He's got a plan for your life, and he wants to talk to you, and he wants to know you. You can be very comfortable and content talking to God about everything in your life that you wouldn't talk to another person about. There are things in my life that, you know, like everyone, they're just kind of painful, and you don't really want to spread that around much. With this God, you can pour your life out to him. The quiet things that you don't mention very much, you can pour those things out because he knows already. He knows those things about you, and he chooses to love you anyway. Wouldn't it be nice to have friends that know you so well, they know everything about you, down to the tiniest quiet detail of your life, and they still love and accept you? So you can talk to them and not be nervous about, oh, well, no, what are they going to think? If I tell them this, what are they going to think about that? Are they going to think that I'm weird, or are they going to think I'm arrogant? If I'm so excited about this, but if I tell them, are they going to think I'm arrogant? You know what I'm talking about? That's the cool thing about a relationship with Christ, is that you can go crazy talking to God about exciting things. And he knows you so well, you don't have to hide. You don't have to hide. There are times in your life when you're going to be alone. Completely alone. You're not going to know anybody. Let's say you go to a conference somewhere and you're totally there by yourself. The worst thing about being by yourself is when you're by yourself in a big crowd. I hate that. Being by myself in the mountains, that's cool. I pray to God. It's just beautiful. Being by myself in a big crowd, you know what I mean by myself too? I hate that. I hate that. I love to pray during those times because God knows me down to the tiniest detail and he loves me. And I can pray in a big crowd of people who don't care one flip about me, but my God knows me, and it's very comforting. It's very fulfilling, just being able to lay it out. I think God created everybody to just want to dump. You know what I mean? Just want to give it up and just say it how it is, and then just hope and pray that whoever you're talking to will understand, and then not walk up and think, "Whoa, they've got issues," you know. The nice thing is, this God who loves us, he knows we have issues, you know? And that's one of the reasons why he likes to talk to us. Prayer is remarkably like talking to someone, only to God, you know? Anyway, there's a verse in the Bible that we'll look up. I'll just read this one to you. Psalm 145:18 basically says, "The Lord is near to all who call on him." If you were having financial problems, let's say, or you really needed something really big done for you. Wouldn't it be cool if someone could, like, let's say you found this best friend, you guys really hit it off, and wonder of wonders, he's best friends with Bill Gates. You know, so you're out in California or somewhere, and you get 20 minutes to talk with Bill Gates. The man donates more money to good causes than, like, the gross national product of half the world. You know what I mean? And he can do that. If he really thought that you'd need half a bazillion dollars, he could probably write you the check, right? Wouldn't it be cool to get to really get to spend a good 20 minutes with Bill Gates and chat with him and tell him what you're doing and then see if he wanted to throw some money at it? Is that awesome? That'd be really cool. I once got a time with one of our senators, and he was a guy, shockingly. He was a guy like me. He understands me. We deal with the same kind of things. And we were talking, and, you know, if I wanted to bring something up in America that I wanted changed, I could tell him. And you know what? He could work on that. Because sometimes you can go to decision explainers or decision makers. There's a big difference. If you want something changed, don't go to the decision explainer. They'll just tell you what the rules are, and they can't do anything. But you can go to the people that are decision makers and talk to them. Man, who knows what will happen with that? And the truth is, Bill Gates and various senators or presidents, they're just a tiny dot compared to an almighty God. And you can go to him and talk to him. He knows you. And he's ready. Isn't that exciting? I love it. Isn't this better than some cooked up outline on the five steps of ACT? You know ACT? You know? You start with adoration, confession, thanksgiving, supplication. That's very good. But I have a book in my office. I'll load it to you if you want on that kind of thing. Or you can throw down $4.95 and you can get it. Let's turn to Revelation 3:20. If you got a Bible, turn to Revelation 3:20. If you don't, I'll read it anyway, so no harm done. I think this is one of the most misquoted verses in the entire Bible. Revelation 3:20. Which is, and, you know, it's not taking anything out of context too terribly. It's not too doctrinally unsound. But this is a verse that people talk about to those who don't know Christ. It's the "Behold, I stand at the door and knock" verse. You know? Well, they say, wow, Jesus Christ is waiting for you. If you don't know Christ, he's there. He's knocking at your door. You can open the door. He'll come in. And Christ will be with you. You can accept Christ to be a Christian. But if you look in the first part of Revelation, you know who this is written to from Christ? It's the church. It's people who know Christ. It's people who've made a decision to follow Christ. These are churches. This particular letter is written from Christ to the church of Laodicea. And I think I pronounced that right. I get kudos for that. Laodicea, let me say that again. He's talking to people who've made a commitment to God, right? The church. So here he says, here I am. I stand at the door and I knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I'll come in and I'll eat with him, and he with me. That's praying. That's what that is. It's you living your life. You wake up on Tuesday, you get your shower, you brush your teeth, you go to class, like everybody does. You're living your life. It's the only one you got, you know? You have to live with yourself for the rest of your life. And you're living your life, and then Jesus Christ is right there waiting for you. With this particular church, they're just kind of fooling around and doing their life. They're making their money and doing their business and living their life like everybody does. And Jesus is saying, hey guys, I'm right here. I'm ready. I want to talk to you. I want to have a relationship with you. I'm knocking. The cool thing about God is that he loves us so much that in his kindness, he doesn't let us get too far away. He knocks. Have you ever said those prayers where you're saying your prayers and it just feels like they're going hardly even out of your head? They might make it to the ceiling, but that's it. And you don't even feel like they're worth listening to. You think, why would God listen to this? I get that way sometimes. The cool thing is that God is hard chasing after us, just waiting to hear us pray. And so sometimes I pray for the desire to pray. That sounds redundant, but we'll get to this in a little bit. Guys, pray what God wants you to pray. That's a gimme, you know? It's a slam dunker. Find the things that God wants, and then pray those things. Pray prayer like this. God, I want to pray, but I don't really feel like it. And when I do pray, it doesn't really feel like it's going anywhere. So God, you're God, and you love me, and you want me to pray. So whatever it is that you need to do to open up my heart or my mind, or whatever it is that you do, God, will you please, please do that and build that into my life so that I can praise you? Any reason why he wouldn't want to do that? Every reason that Jesus Christ would want to graciously say, oh yeah, I'll do that. Pray those kind of things. Pray the heart of God kind of things. And then I think you'll create the desire to pray. When you don't really want to pray, that's when you pray that God will give you that yearning in your heart to pray. In a little bit, we're going to talk about being bold in prayer, then being brave in prayer. Bravery in prayer is when you pray, God, bring me to a place where I am just thrown down before you, praising you and seeking your face. My friends, you've got to be a very brave, faithful person to pray that prayer. Because God loves you enough that he might lead you through some difficulties to bring you to that place. Praise God that he would. Praise God that he would do that because he loves us. There's a verse in Matthew 7. Let's look at that. Matthew 7, 7 through 8. Things of God pursuing you in prayer in a good way. Ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you'll find. Knock and the door will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, he who seeks finds, and to him who knocks, the door will be opened. What that's saying is, seek God. Ask him. Ask him to give you a heart of prayer. In a little bit we're going to talk about having a theme that you pray about for a long, long time. That wouldn't be a bad one. Pray, God, make me a person of prayer. Give me a desire to pray and to really know you. There's no reason why Jesus wouldn't want to do that. You pray a big bunch of that, and then all of a sudden you turn to one of those people that people might scratch their head and they'll say, you know, the people that I've known that have been mighty men of prayer, women that are prayer warriors, they're usually like 80 years old. You know what I'm talking about? They say, oh, she's a prayer warrior. This woman, she prays. If I want someone to pray for me, I'm gonna go to her. Guys, don't wait. You can get hit by a train till you're 80 and miss out on all that good praying. You know? No reason why you can't pray now and be awesome in prayer. Mighty in word and deed in prayer. So you can pray for that kind of thing now. God's asking. There are various places in the Bible where he's kind of saying, hey, do this. God wants to hear your prayers. Then you do those kind of things. And then someone, when they have really difficult problems, like a neighbor of yours, or somebody in your hall, or someone in your class, they might very well come to you and ask you to pray about stuff for them. Is it not cool when someone who doesn't even know Christ, and a week ago didn't even believe there really was a God that they could know, then they come to you and ask you to pray about something? What a gift from God. I think if you're really a person in prayer, it's going to show so much. People who don't even want to believe in a God, they will come to you. And they're going to pour out their problem, and then you can pray for them. What an awesome way to let God show his ability, and then you share Christ with them. That's a prayer thing. I've had people ask me to pray for them before that didn't know God. I love that. It's an honor. It's a privilege to pray for somebody. And then, by the grace of God, he can do it and walk them through it. And then they can maybe not feel so much indebted, I don't mean that, but feel like, this God, this works. It really works. The next section that we're going to talk about a little bit is really knowing God. Flip over to John 16. I won't make you flip the whole time, but it's good to get scripture in, so let's get in real early. John 16, 24. Jesus talking, in the second half of 24 it says, ask and you will receive, and your joy will be complete. Now, let's say that you need your car to start. It's late, it's dark, you're at Walmart, your car won't start. And so you just stop, you pull the key out, you sit there, you pray a little bit, you put the key back in. I've done this, by the way. Put the key back in, take a deep breath, say a quick prayer, and you turn the key and the car starts. Now, there are two kinds of joy there. One, there's the joy of your car starting. That will be a joy for about 5 minutes. You'll get home and you'll forget. Or maybe the mechanical work on your ignition and then you're fine. The other kind of joy is you realize that you have just touched the throne of grace. And that God is more powerful than the Oldsmobile. You know? The short things of getting what you want when you pray are over quickly. The long things are seeing, oh my goodness, the master of this entire universe actually listens to me when I have something to say. That's joy. That's a totally different kind of joy. That's the kind of joy that'll turn you into a little old man or a little old woman that people will seek out to hear your wisdom. That's the kind of joy that you have, that someone that doesn't know Christ will look you right in the face and say, there's something different about you. What's different about you? That's the bigger joy. That's the knowing God kind of joy. If you're going to pray, I think it's important, it's critical, that you really, really know God. And there's no way around that than reading scriptures. There's no way around it. There are things that you'll read in the scriptures and you'll say, I had no idea God would react that way. Who would have thought it? You'll read in the scriptures the things that Jesus says, and you'll say to yourself, my goodness, sometimes when people really need to be hammered, he was kind and gentle and loving and compassionate. But then, guys, when you really know that aspect of God, when you really deserve to be hammered, I've been there, you know what I'm talking about? And you're kind of scared, and you realize, oh yeah, wait a minute, he knows already. It's not like I'm going to pray and it's going to be a surprise to him. Then you realize, this is the same Jesus that was kind and compassionate and loving. And I need to have the fear of God and that this deepest respect. But I also know this Jesus loves me. He loves me enough that I can sit on the bunk in my dorm room or on the couch in my apartment and just pour out how I'm feeling. And it's okay. If I deserve to get hammered, what I might really get is a lot of love and grace and tenderness and compassion. But you know, before you can get to that place where you really pray that kind of prayer, you have to know him. You have to know him. If your dad was mean, short-tempered, and hardly ever around, it may very well be that your concept of God is mean, short-tempered, and doesn't care much for you. And so your prayers are more along the lines of, God, I don't want to offend you or anything, but ooh, I could really stand some help in this relationship. And that's it, because you don't want to trouble him. You know, you're not going to trouble God. If you rely on your relationships with other people to be the basis of the way that you talk to God, it's going to be wrecked. Because all your friends have issues in their life where they're wrecked. They're broken. They're not yet completely perfect in Christ. So the way you deal with them is not the way you deal with a holy God. It's not the same. A holy God, you have to talk with him like he's a holy God. The only way you can know how to do that is being in the Word. Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Camp there. If you want, look at King David and read the Psalms and read his prayers where he says, God, these people are trying to kill me. Everybody hates me. My best friends have all left me. He's just pouring out how miserable he is. But then, shockingly enough, he rolls it back around. He oftentimes in Psalms, he kind of ends with, but God, you are God, and you are all I need. And I love you and I trust you. Does that sound familiar? Pray like that. Just figure out. Get out a piece of paper and do a study on prayer. Not by looking up prayer in the concordance, but looking up the life of King David and how he prayed to God. Because David knew God. Anyway, well, know him. Terribly, terribly important. I'll also say about prayer and knowing God, there's no magic formula. With everything I tell you today, you're not going to get any magic formula. You're not going to hear somebody else pray and say, wow, I found it. I have found the golden key that unlocks God's will for my life. Prayer really is that golden key, but everyone has a different one. And there's no magic formula. I thought I found one time. I'm in James. You know the verse in James that says, if any man lacks wisdom, let him ask of God, you know? And he'll give it without finding fault. Yeah, I got one. All I'm going to do is ask for wisdom, and God's going to throw that out for me. That's a gimme. That's a lock. And so you read the next verse or two. Oh, unless you're a double-minded man, don't have faith, then you don't get it. Ah! You know? So much for, you know, the very thing that, you know, that you can write down exactly how to pray. You see how now my point is, I don't have an outline for you today that says, these are the five steps of prayer. Do this, be warm and filled, and go in peace. I can't do that. I can't do it. Instead, know this God that loves you. And then start praying, and pray that He'll really lead you in it. And then you might be shocked the things that you say to God and the way that He calms your heart in it. Oh, this is fun too. Praising God. In knowing God and praising God, know part of the character of God. Part of my character is I really, really am attracted to people who appreciate my finer qualities. You're laughing. You know it's true, though, don't you? You know? If someone said, wow, Chris, you are a workshop stud. Hey, I'm more inclined to eat lunch with you. You know what I mean? Is that true? It is true. People who say to you, you know, you're solid. You know, you're one of those women that you're just solid. You're not flighty. You really seem to know God. You think, yeah, thank you. And makes you, if you're going to walk back from here to wherever you're going, you're more inclined to walk with that person and talk with them. You know? God's exactly the same way. He loves the praises of His people. Not to go back to Acts, but a good way to really start praying God, to pray to God, is just by saying, God, you are it. This world leaves me remarkably cold and empty a lot of times. It does. But God, you're what I need, and you warm me up, and you take care of me. When I've had a lousy, stinking day, I can come back and pray, and you're there. You're there for me. Wouldn't God love that? God loves that kind of thing. It's an honor to be able to please God. Shocking that we've been given the ability to please a holy God, that through Christ, He's done that. Oh, here's a good one too. Pray your own prayers. Don't pray somebody else's prayer. Pray your own prayers. If you hear a really cool prayer, you can pray that once or twice, but don't make it your prayer life. Praying is much more personal. You might not hear this in another prayer workshop. I think this is fun. Have secrets with God. I pray things no one knows about. I've got a purpose in my heart I'm not going to tell. Because there are things that I pray about nobody knows. Because this God, He's not this great big God in the sky. No, He's my God. And I know Him. And He knows me. And I can pray things I don't tell other people. And it's my secret. And secrets, my friends, that builds intimacy. Doesn't it? There are things you can pray about that only God knows. And only you know. Is that cool? I love that. I love little secret prayers. My wife found me out on one recently. Quite embarrassing. Yeah, I was praying about something, and she called me up. I was at the BSU, late night. She calls me up, and I was praying about something, and I'm talking to her, and I said, what have you been doing? She's like, oh, I've been praying for you. Yeah. And she's like, yeah. And I said, what have you been praying for me? And then, this will freak you out, not as much as it did me. She was praying the same thing I was praying. Is that cool? And so I said, that's funny. Why were you praying that? So she starts telling me, you know, one of the same reasons I was praying. And I had to fess up. Because it was too cool. It was at 5 till 11 o'clock p.m. And we were both praying the same thing. You know, a 5 or 8 minute drive away from each other. That's cool. It got me found out, though, you know. But this secret prayer I've been praying to God, ask me what that is, guys, later, and I won't tell you. Because it's a secret. It's an intimate thing between me and my God and my wife. And I only told her because she found me out. So I had to. But if you do that, when there are times when you're sad and you're lonely and you're hurting, then you can go to God and you can pray intimate things because you guys have a relationship. You know? Very nice. It's a very nice thing. On the whole, don't pray other people's prayers. Rely on your prayers with God. Rely on those. Let's say that you go home this summer and someone says to you in the church, oh, God told me that you're supposed to teach 8th grade girls this summer in a girls' class. You know, this might be the education director Or God told me that you're supposed to be a counselor at camp this summer with high school boys. Well, that's all good and fine, but you know what? The Spirit of God, if you're a believer, lives in you. Don't just rely on someone that you think is this godly person to tell you what God has for your life. He doesn't have the Spirit of God in him maybe any more than you do. Pray about those things. Don't just say, wow, I've talked to this mighty man of God or mighty woman of God, and I'm going to do what they say because they told me that God told them something. Maybe they were praying late at night, and the reason they felt that way is because no one else would do it, and they were in a bind. I'm not trying to pick on anybody, but sometimes they might think that God is telling them that you should do it because they need someone to fill that spot. Wouldn't it be a shame if you did something really awesome, like teach 8th grade girls for the summer, but that wasn't God's will for your life? Don't settle for good. Don't settle for good. Good will rob you. Settle for best. And you can know the best when you pour your life out to God and see what he wants. Don't rely on someone else to do your praying for you. Jesus Christ, he is our King. He is our High Priest. And we don't have to go through other people. We go right to the source. It's a relationship, and I'll try to give you a word picture of what this relationship can be like between you and God and praying. My wife, she does this really funny thing, and I love it. My wife, I'll be doing dishes or weeding the garden or doing something around the house, and we'll be talking. She'll come out, and she wrinkles up her nose at me. She kind of lifts her shoulders up, and she says, tell me you love me. You know? It's just the cutest thing. Now, come on. What do you think I'm going to tell her when she looks at me all cute like that? Come on, what do you think? I'm going to tell her I love her. Every time. If she does that 100 times a day, what do you think I'm going to do? Every time. I'm going to tell her I love her. Girls, you know what I'm talking about? Because she likes to hear that from me. And I do love her, and I like to hear it from her. I like her to ask me, and I like to tell her. I'm smiling just thinking about it. You know? Let's say that we leave here, I drive back to Oklahoma, Lori's got to do something at the house, and I go to the mall, and some woman I've never met in my life comes up and says, tell me you love me. I'm going to run screaming from the place. Right? You know why that is? There's no relationship there. That's an intimate thing. If there's no relationship there, it's turned from this loving, really cute thing that just makes me smile real big to make me go, ah! And the difference is the relationship. My sweet daughter, if she were to ask me if I loved her, do you know what I would do? I could promise you, I would run and scoop her up, and I would pick her up, and I would probably kind of swing around a little bit. I'd look her right in the face and tell her I loved her, right? There's a relationship there. You know? Guys, I'm more likely to grab you by the elbow and punch you in the arm and say, you're a stud. But it's kind of the same thing. You know what I mean? If I grabbed a guy at the mall and I punched him in the arm and told him he was a stud, he might punch me back. Guys, build that intimacy in your life with God where you can legitimately ask, God, tell me you love me. And then just sit real quiet, hold real still, and see if you really feel that God really, really loves you. Or maybe something really cool happens that day, out of the ordinary, and you think, aha, answers to my prayer. This is an almighty God telling me that he loves me. You know? Now, maybe this is a wimpy, sissy kind of thing to say, but I will anyway. I kind of throw my life out there to you guys, so don't mock me. I like to pray about something until my nose just starts burning. You know what I mean? Just pray about something. You know, if you're not married, maybe, but my wife, she tells me that she really loves and respects me or something like that. And I just get this burning in my nose, you know, and my eyes can almost like well up a little bit, but I don't because I'm a man. Sometimes, guys, I get that way with God. Maybe I'm just really behind on my sleep, or maybe it's the altitude. But the prayer times out here, I've been getting this big nose burn. You know, am I the only guy that does that? Don't lie to me. Do you guys know at all what I'm talking about? The guys have no idea what I'm talking about. Maybe you're real manly. Ladies, you know what I'm talking about? Ladies all know what I'm talking about. Okay, guys. The praise music's going. And you're praising this holy God. And you get to that part where it says, why should I gain from your reward? Who Christ is. Why in the world should you have any part in who Christ is? And you think, my goodness, this God loves me. And I am His, and I am praising Him. And it just makes you want to get it. Makes you want to be a man. You know what I'm talking about? Pray that kind of prayer. Don't wait for the music. Praise music is great. I love to pray during praise music. It's kind of the same thing. Don't wait just for the praise music, though. Do it when you're doing something else. To the point where you say, I am a man, this is for you, Tony Wood, I am a man of God. You know? And ladies, pray to a holy God who loves you, and so you get that welling up in your eyes and get that slow nose burn. Pray that way, because that's honoring to a holy God who loves you. You know? Anyway, but know God. Next section. Be bold. Be bold in your prayers. Ask for little things sometimes, because I think God loves it. We ask for little things because it lets us know, lets Him know that He's important enough in our lives that we can ask about little things, you know? But ask big things. I mean real big things. If you're going to do that, go over the top. It's not going to offend God. It's going to make Him think, they realize I can do big things. You know? Pray big, bold things. If you do that, this is of me, not of the Lord, but from me. I try to couple my big, bold prayers with a perfect humility. See, it's the humble people who see God. I try to attach, and God give me humility, with my big, bold prayers, because what happens if God starts answering your big, bold, over-the-top prayers? You turn to one of those people who thinks that you're a stud for Christ, and that you've got this inside track that other people don't. It's a very dangerous place to be. Pray, God Almighty, answer this huge, big, bold prayer, but please, God, help me to be humble, and don't let me be like one of those people that think that they're really something. Wouldn't you want to answer that? Again, I try to pray things He wants to answer, and then attach those two things. I had a friend once that was prone to miscarriages, and she was pregnant again, and I wrote a big note to myself, like a Sharpie or something, on a piece of paper. And at my office, I put it on my little credenza behind my desk, so that I saw it all day long. And for months and months and months, I prayed that this child would be born, that this child would change the world. Okay? And I prayed for my friend, who had lost a couple of children already. Okay? 9 months or so into this pregnancy, she went to the doctor, and the bad news was that she had miscarried again at full term. Okay? It's a tragedy. That, my friends, reshaped my prayer life. Okay? Pray about something really big and bold for a long time and pour your soul into it, and then maybe God will tell you no. And maybe you'll learn something about God that you didn't know before. Like, you can't push Him around. He is an almighty God, and He will do as He chooses. And there's freedom in praying big, huge, bold prayers, knowing that He can say, thank you for praying. I love you. I respect your prayer. It fills me with joy. But I know better than you, and I'm not going to say yes to this one. Don't be afraid that He's going to give you what you want, and it might be a terrible thing. He's God. You can't tell Him what to do. There's some country and western song thanking the Lord for unanswered prayers, you know, from some time back. Don't be afraid that you're going to strong-arm God. He's going to give you something that you're praying for. It's going to be bad for you. He's God. You can't tell Him what to do. I learned that through this. But here's another thing I haven't told a lot of people. When the doctor told my friend that her baby at 8 or 9 months or so had died, they did some like sonogram or something like that, and she had to wait a couple of days and go to the hospital. You know what I did? I prayed a bold prayer. Can anybody guess what it is? Pray two things. One, that doctor was wrong. Totally wrong. And my friend would go into the hospital and wonder of wonders if there would be a child in there that would survive the day. Okay? two, if not that, and the doctor wasn't wrong, I prayed that an almighty God that has the power to do it would resurrect that child. And that when my friend, who I love dearly, and her husband, when they went in, there'd be a live child there that would change the world. Because you know what? I'm not going to give up. I'm not going to give up. And my God, see, He raises people from the dead, doesn't He? You see, that's not just some stories in the Bible that happened 2,000 years ago. This is the same God. And I will not give up. I'm going to pray bold prayers. Does that mean that, wow, I am this mighty man of God that prays these bold prayers that people would be raised from the dead? No, it doesn't mean I'm a mighty man of God. It means that I'm a weak man with a God that can do that. Don't be afraid to pray humongous prayers. Don't think, ooh, who am I to pray this great big humongous prayer? Because the answer is you're pretty much not much of anybody in the world standards, not any more than I am or other people probably here, you know? See, it's God, an almighty God, that can do those things. Don't be afraid to pray very big, bold things. If you know someone that doesn't know Christ, don't be afraid to pray really big, mean, nasty, bold prayers. You know what I pray sometimes for a girl that doesn't know Christ? This will shock some of you. I pray that all of her friends will turn their back on her. I pray that the people that love her most will stab her right in the back and leave her hanging. And that when she's really hurting, and that she goes to her parents and tells them something, they don't even listen to her. Isn't that awful? I pray that maybe she'll get really, really sick. I mean bad sick. Isn't that awful? I'll pray that she loses her job and then she can't find another one. And that within she sends resumes out all over the world and the rejections start coming back in. That every time she opens the mailbox and it's, thank you, we'll keep your resume on file, something should open, we'll let you know, that it will knock the wind out of her. Brutal, huh? Brutal. I pray worse things I won't tell you about. Now, why in the world would I do that? Sounds hateful, doesn't it? It's not hateful prayer. That's a loving, kind, generous prayer. Because the reason I pray that then is so that she would throw herself on the mercy of God who loves her. And she would realize, this world is eating me alive. I have to have something more. There's got to be more than this. And I pray that God would bring her to that. Okay? Then maybe I pray and God sends someone that knows Christ to be her friend. That she'd see this person and with every ounce of her body, she would throw herself at you, God, and give it up. Because eternity is a long time. And I bet you, if she accepted Christ, and we end up in heaven together, and she found out that I prayed those things, she might just laugh out loud, right? Oh my goodness, you really prayed that for me! Would she be offended? Absolutely not. That's a bold prayer. Don't be afraid to pray things like that. But pray it with a purpose. Hebrews 4:16 says that we should boldly approach God's throne, that we can get mercy, find grace to help us in our time of need. God is saying, hey, boldly do it. You don't have to be ashamed. The Holy Scripture said you should boldly approach God. God also says in the humility part, God opposes the proud, but He gives grace to the humble. Is it shocking to you? Should be. Is it shocking to you that you could put yourself in an attitude or some position in life that you would make God feel compelled to oppose you? Oh my goodness! Shocking that we would be able to do that. To put ourselves in a place where God would feel compelled to oppose us. Don't ever do that. That's scary. That's wasted. This God I'm talking about, don't ever do that. Don't put Him in a place where He thinks He needs to oppose you. For your own good. But I don't want that. I don't want God to oppose me. So pray that humble part on with it. Just pack it on there. Be bold, but there is a time to stop praying. How about that? There's a time to stop praying. Once upon a time, God said to Abram, later Abraham, get up, leave where you are, and go to a land I'm going to show you. What do you think would have happened if Abraham would have said, oh God, I love you, you're incredible. Oh, I'm going to pray about that. Whoa, I'm going to pray, I might pray 6 months about that, a year, just to make sure.
because I really know what you want. I'm really going to pray about that. You know what that's called? There's a nasty word for it. It's called sin, disobedience. You know? How about building the ark? Noah, build an ark. I'll tell you just how to build it. I'll give you the plans. Get your saws and your hammers and build just like I want. Oh, God, I love you. You're incredible. I'm going to pray about that. Right? If you really know God and get really intimate with Him, I can almost promise you there'll be times when God will say, enough. Enough. And at that time, boldly stop praying and boldly obey God. You might not find a lot of guys will say to quit praying about something, but check the scriptures and see if it's true. The whole knowing God thing that we started with, anything that I tell you that you write down, and then later if you look over that again, you say, well, what was he talking about? That sounds really counter God. At least the way I know God. Dig in the Word of God and see for yourself and pray about it. Don't rely on me. That's my advice. The next section is be brave. Talk about that a little bit ago. The fear of God is the beginning of wisdom. And there is some fear in there, but be brave. You want a synonym for a bravery? It's faith. The prayer of faith is also the prayer of bravery. I have a friend that once said to his friend, I want to be so sold out to God that whatever he has to do to me to get me there, I want to do it. And his friend said, you mean like cancer? Yeah, like cancer. And his friend said, you know, me too. So these two men looked at each other eye to eye, and they said, I will pray for your cancer if you'll pray for my cancer. How about that? How would you like someone praying if you slip in your walk with God, you're not totally sold out to Him, that you've got a godly man or woman that'll pray for your cancer to develop? Ay, 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 is that frightening? That's frightening to me. Wouldn't you love to be in a place in your life where you want to be so sold out to Christ that you can find a godly person that they would pray that God will do whatever it takes to blow your doors off, to make you a godly woman, to make you a godly man? Strange, isn't it? That's a fearful thing. But be willing to do some fearful things, and then just check the scriptures to make sure that it's wise.